the 24th of July, and I'm with Bruce and Sally Marnick. And what a delight it is to be talking with you and telling us your life history in Hawke's Bay. Now I pass it on to Bruce and Sally to tell me what you remember.
Well, what I remember first, we were brought up in a Marnock family in a house in Timona Road, which was known as 6 North Timona Road. It's from William Street to the works. The numbers went backwards and started again. So you had 2, 4, 6, 8 and so forth up into the houses. We grew up, spent most of our time playing in either Cornwall Park or down the creek at the back, which was a creek which actually did run out of Cornwall Park and ran down beside the freezing works and continued out towards Pakawai. In the early days, the sheep trucks, quite often they'd be banked up around the William Street from there to the works, waiting to get unloaded, particularly during the lambing season when the lambs come into the works. And we often go down there after school and sit up on the railings and watch the stockmen working the cattle. One of the highlights of that was the blue merle dogs, heelers, what were called heelers, and they used to be able to dive in under the cattle's hooves and nick them on the ankles and then get out of the way, and of course the cattle kicking would go straight over the top of their heads. That was quite a highlight, as we had 3 or 4 drovers, 4 that I can just recall, in a very close proximity to there. One was Kerr, Frank Kerr, and the other was Milne, Harry Royal, and another Milne about halfway to the works. Harry Royal was the last house on the left heading down to the works. In that area, down Coventry Road, which is a road just beside the works, I think the family was Townsends in there. They had a raspberry plot down there. We used to get down picking raspberries. One of the biggest things I did down the creek, when I was 6, I took a heel off, cut it off in the creek. That spent many a time in the hospital through my life with that, leaving quite a mess. Dr. Marshall had to put on a big skin graft and flesh, took it off the back of my leg and put that on the foot, and of course went on with that. There was very little known about it in those days. They used to use me at the hospital every so often. I'd have to go up. My mother would take me up on the bike and I'd sit there while they're using me as a guinea pig. There'd be different specialists and that would come in from different parts of the country, and they'd all come and stand around the room and look at you. And in those days, nobody would say anything to you. You just sat there, the little boy sitting there with all these people in white coats looking at you, and they'd all go and that was it. I'd go away. From Timona Road, we shifted out to Hamoana. Dad had bought a property out there, a section, which he paid about £45 for in those days. He first had a tent, and then he got an army hut, an old army hut, and they were more or less joined together until at a later date we built a batch. And by that stage, us kids were getting on a bit, so we could do quite a bit of the work as well. Mixing concrete was all done by hand on a board. That was for the piles. The little batch was built. In those days, you couldn't get corrugated iron. That was very difficult. So the roof was sarked in macrocarpa, and then milfoil was laid over it with tar, and sand was put on top of the tar. That was to keep it.
Sark.
That was just macrocarpa. In other words, it was just like flooring on the roof. And then you laid the other over it, and that lasted for a few years. Just used to have to keep patching it. The seagulls, they were a bit of a problem. They used to pick away at it. But at a later date, we added on to the house and built over that and corrugated iron and turned it into quite a nice little house. Mum and Dad had 4 kids, and we lived there until we all sprouted wings and flew. My first job was at a typewriter shop in Hastings, British Typewriters. Worked there for some time. I then left there and joined what my love was hunting and game at the Green Meadows Game Farm. I was there for some years, and during that time I met my future wife. We went together for a few years. I think from memory it was about 3 years. Engaged for 14 months. We married. And
where at?
Married in Dannyburg at St John the Baptist Anglican Church in the main street.
And what date was that?
12th of February, 1966.
Then we shifted back up to the bay. After the game farm, I did work for a while at Birdseye. I left Birdseye and then I went to Whakatū. I was at Whakatū for 4 years. I had 2 years in the war room and 2 years in what they call the small goods department. That was packing small goods. Yeah, that's right. Before we married, I had a stint out at Herbertville on a farm on Farnham Station. I was out there for about 7 months, I think it was something like that. Did a lambing beat. Then we got married, we shifted back up to the bay. We had Wakatu, and then Sally's father had a cleaning business, which he wanted one of the family to take over. So I took over the cleaning business. We bought that, and we had that for 29 odd years.
And the name of that was?
There was no name. We didn't have a name. It was just personal, just ourselves. Yeah, but didn't really employ anybody.
Didn't have to advertise.
Couldn't handle what work we had. It was mostly private work. Did a few businesses and things. Mm. But yeah, it lasted 29 years till my health cracked up. At that stage, we'd shifted to Dannyburg. Lived there for a few years. And then moved to Mangatanoka. We had a property there.
Well, you only liked the Tui.
Oh yes, we looked at the Tui was out of our kitchen window. It was the main building.
Yeah, the big tall building.
The old building of Tui, the Icon building. That was a very interesting time. Then when the health gave up, we left the business and moved back up to Hawke's Bay for here.
What year?
We came here in 2000. The year 2000 we shifted here. Mm. We bought this place and we've lived here ever since. I've got to say it's the longest place we've been in, the longest time that we've been in a house. We'd had quite a few shifts.
We had two children, a girl, Teresa, and a boy, Evan.
And what age are they now?
Teresa is 51, Evan is 48.
They grow up, don't they?
Gosh, I'll say they do.
Their daughter married when we lived at a place called Ruawata. That was about 5 miles from Mangatanoke. We bought a property there. I lived there for a few years and shifted into Woodville. And then from Woodville, we came back up to Hawke's Bay. We've been quite happy living here in that time.
Yes, we have. We
had a lot of interesting things with Mum and Dad going back on our history. On my mother's side, she was born in Hastings at Waipatu, down Bennett's Road. They lived there at the time. Mum was born there. Then they shifted into Tamona Road, into a house, which I understand was only a very temporary. I think it was a matter of days they were there, until they bought their family home and Orchard family in Nelson Street. And they lived there until Mum and Dad met and got married. My father, he was what you call a flockhouse boy. He'd come out from Aberdeen with his brother. Flockhouse was set up for sons of British seamen lost at sea. Their father had been killed on a minesweeper, and that they applied to come out here. And they travelled out here in 1925 on the Corinthia, the ship. And they went through Flockhouse, and then came up to Hawke's Bay, and they worked on varying farms up here, all around the Matapiro district, mainly in that area. And then Pop went through the rehab after the war. It was to learn carpentry, and he spent the rest of his life as a carpenter. Prior to that, he did, as I say, farm work. The war came. He enlisted in the army. I think first he enlisted into the Navy and never heard back, so he enlisted into the army. He was in there for a while. And then he got his letter from the Navy, and he went to the Navy. One of the ships Dad served on was the Kiwi. That met quite a bit of action up in the Pacific, where they rammed a submarine, which Pop never really spoke anything about. He kept very, very quiet about that part. After the war, my earliest recollections, we can still remember the cardboard up at the windows. That was there, and used to play with Pop's gas mask from the war and his signalling flags. He had them, the old silk big flags. Unfortunately, all those things have disappeared over time. But Dad ended up in charge of the carpenter shop at Wakatu. That was his last job, where he did the brands. That was for the sheep carcasses. He used to cut a lot of them out. They were cut out of hard rubber on a canvas back. He was also the locksmith. He did that until his retirement. And then Mum and Dad were living at Hamoana at the time. They then shifted to Waiheke Island and spent their last days up there. They had a few years, what, 20 odd years, I think it was, about 18, 20 years, yes, up at Waiheke, right, before they both died.
About what year?
71, I think they
died. They went there.
Your father died in 92.
Mum was 90, I think, 90, right. The year 1990. My mother died.
May 90, and your father died in 1992, October.
That's right. I think one of Mum's biggest highlights, being a royalist, very strong, the royal family. She met the Duchess of Kent. That was at the Hamilton Royal Show, and that would have been in the, from memory, the late 70s, I think that would have been. That was my mother's highlight that I can recall on that. Dad was very handy with his hands, with his carpentry, and built onto his houses wherever he was. He's always seemed to find something that needed improving and rebuilt, so he carried on doing that.
I didn't put the grandchildren in either. We've got two granddaughters. One's 23, one's coming up 21.
That's nice. Yeah. All keep good health?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, one's on a farm. They work on a farm at Takapau at the moment, the southern end of Takapau, between there and Norswood. And the other one works with animals as well, with a breeding centre with stock. She's very handy. Our daughter married a joiner. They've had their joinery factory in Woodville, which they've had there for some years. And our son, he was away for some years, spent 2 years in the territorials as a cook. I think his highlight, and that was training with the Gurkhas down south in Tekapo. They used to go down there, and that was a training area. He was down in Christchurch for some years working, particularly through the waste industry, and then went to Tauranga with one of his bosses for about 13-odd years, and now he's come home. He's single, yeah. Never been married. I think he's decided home's not such a bad place after all. He's good. Yeah, so he's been back home going on 2 years. Mm-hmm. It would be coming up 2 years. It's worked out very well.
It has. We all get on well together.
Yeah, it's nice to have family that are stuck together over the years, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, nice to look back on.
But there were many things happened there when we were in Timona Road. We lived down there where Birdseye Factory is now. We used to milk cows in there. For a chap by the name of Des Van Ash. He had a little herd of cows, mainly Jersey, right on the corner of Timona Road and William Street. We used to milk there quite regularly. And Des had a milk run. He had a bike with balloon tyres, and he'd put the milk cans onto the bike. There'd be about four cans. And he'd ride from the William Street corner down Timona Road to Richmond Road, and then out to Pakawai Road, and back up to William Street and along there. And he'd be able to deliver his milk into Billy's, which you'd have in your letterbox, and it was just bailed out with a measure out of the milk can.
Those were the days.
In those days, there were big gum trees bordering William Street and Timona Road, and they were pretty high, big trees, big ugly trees that had a lot of crows nesting in. And then there's that went, and then Birdseye Factory built up. And I can remember when the boiler blew at Birdseye, I was on the front veranda, I saw that go up. That was a massive sight. And I was across the other side of the factory from that. Timona, there were several fires at Timona over the years, big fires, I think mainly in the freezer department. That would be the tar and what have you, no doubt that would catch up. They were big, but they were good days where the kids could play, and particularly over the back of Timona Road and William Street in that corner. Whereas now it's just all a housing area. Yes. Kids used to just run riot, just run wild in there with tomatoes cropping that would be in there. And there was a lot of kids who would go in there and play, and particularly the tomato fights. Yeah. There'd be one lot of kids behind the tractors and another lot behind the boxes, 40-pound boxes that they used to pick them into. And it'd be a terrific fight. There'd be something like 20 or 30 kids over there, all in, and it'd just be all on. We had a lot of fun down there. In the end, next to Royals was Thompson's, I understand, had the big paddock at the end where there was a hay barn in there, and that was a great place for kids to play. We used to get in there through one of the shut-up windows, and kids would have a great time. Mm-hmm. But that was living in Timona. It was a good area. It was good. Our schooling was all Mahora until intermediate started up, and then I went to intermediate in the Hastings Boys High.
Years at Boys High?
I left in the fifth form, yes. I left when I had to go back to hospital again with problems with a foot.
And that was round about what year?
That would be in the mid to late 50s. I played in the pipe band, Hastings, which was in the Hastings Scots in those days, which went to the city of Hastings. Played in that band.
Were you a piper or a drummer?
I was a piper. I was pretty young at the time. I think my first outing was to Rose Sunday. They had that at Frimley Park, used to be each year. And the pipe band used to play there for that. And then Anzac parades, of course. Some of them were pretty big in those days,
yes,
with the pipe band. I left that when I got there, I think, shifted, and that was work. Running our own business, it was impossible to do that. So that left. Sport, played rugby, soccer. I was in the first schoolboy soccer team in Hastings. I captained that team. Got into the Hastings reps, but that was as far as I got. That was in the early 50s. Probably mid-50s that would have been, and before. That started up at intermediate school. as one of the teachers was pretty keen on the soccer, and that's how, you know, I can recall that I started on that. It was good family life in those days with the uncle and aunts and cousins. They were all together in those days. There'd be varying functions that you'd go to, and parties and things that they would have, or evenings more than parties. Particularly when we were out the beach, a lot of them would come out in the summer because all the kids would be off down the beach, playing down the beach. We spent a lot of time down there fishing with nets, using nets off the boat, which Dad had built. We'd help them and build our own boat, got our net. We'd go down the beach and get others to help. You'd go down and fish and get what you could. And I think the biggest haul we ever got was about 125 snapper in one haul. That was an absolute once-er.
It would have been pretty heavy in the net.
Very. It was very heavy. And we ended up, well, we couldn't do anything with them in those days. So we ended up taking them into a fish shop and selling them in Hastings. The bulk of them that the rest of us couldn't take, because you couldn't keep fish for too long then. It wasn't too many. One of the big things Mum and Dad did when we lived in Timona Road, they started what was called a Dolls Hospital. That was for repairing dolls. That brings back a few memories. I think one of the two most interesting things they had, they used to repair the hospital dolls, or the mannequins that they had there for training nurses. And you used to be able to open up the stomach part, and there was bladders and things inside with little chains and that. And they were full size, life size. And Mum and Dad, or Dad, built in the front veranda, and he turned that into the dolls room. And that at times would be full of dolls, and they'd have to quite often warn people when they come in not to be concerned about the, there'd be a doll sitting in there like a full-size human. I can remember two dolls from the hospital coming, and I think the most interesting one Dad ever had to repair was a couple of Egyptian dolls. They were made out of human skin. Yeah, they were quite scary. I remember that well. Pop was quite happy to see them go. They made dolls and sold them. They're like pixies, little pixie dolls. They probably, from memory, would be about a foot long. They'd sold quite a lot of them, and I think that's where the money came from to buy the section out at Hamoana when those kids were quite young. Each summer we'd leave on Boxing Day, travel out to the beach, and we'd stay there for the holiday, and then when school started we'd come back to Hastings and clean the section up again, because that would be like a jungle over the summer, you know, through January.
What sort of transport did you have away back, even when you were farming at Herbertville?
I had a little Morris Minor. I'd bought a Morris Minor when I worked at Birdseye. My first form of transport was a Crescent scooter, about a 50cc scooter, I think it was. It was bought from Barclay Motors, Karamu Road at the time. I had that for a few years until I bought the Morris Minor, and used to travel out from Dannevirke out to Herbertville, which would be about an hour from memory, or a bit over an hour, hour and a quarter. Some nights, pretty hard driving at night out there with stock on the roads, and you run into Black Angus and walking in the bush. It was, yeah, a little hare racing. I think after that we had a Hillman Minx.
That's right.
Super Minx. We bought that from Bailey Motors in town in Hastings.
Great.
I think it was a Hawtop joinery vehicle. We had that for some years till we bought the business. Then we had to drop down to one vehicle, to the van for business, Vanguard van we had, with no power steering. It was like a dray.
Great heavy machine.
Then we eventually, yeah, sold that and went up from little vehicles that suited us for our job, the little Vivas, Vauxhall Vivas, when they came out, and the Vauxhall Chevette. That didn't last long, I don't think, but it was actually quite a good little car. It was well set up, but didn't really catch on. Going back in the very early days, yeah, we just had, well, you walked until Mum and Dad could buy you a push bike, and each of us kids had our own bike, and we'd ride. Dad had an old Chev car at the time. I think his biggest misfortune there was he got caught by the train at Wakatu. There was carriages out, and when he went through, the train got him. And that was the end of that car. He was lucky he got out. Got out with a few broken ribs. Remember that, coming home from school, Pop was sitting there nursing his ribs. He took it all right. But the thing that upset him, he got fined £4.10, if I remember rightly, for damaging the train. He had to pay for a cable on the front of the train. I think it was about £4.10 he got fined. So that was that. Then we shifted, didn't we, from Ruawata. We moved from Dannevirke. That's where we first started, had our first house. That was quite an experience, getting that house. That was quite a story. But an old friend of Sally's family was a land agent, old land agent. He had retired at the time, and he got us into an old house there. Managed to borrow the money from a law firm in Fielding, Fullerton Smith, Miles and Chisnell. Mr. Miles was the lawyer's name, and we borrowed the money. We had to borrow the lot. We didn't have any.
No, you didn't.
We were starting, and was it Sally's parents, wasn't it? Stood guarantor so we could get it. I asked Mr. Miles, I said, when can get these papers out? He said, when half of the loan's paid. So we duly worked very hard until we got on our own feet. Yeah, got that out, and then we were okay.
Went into it, family benefit and all sorts.
It's scraped up. Yep. As you do, scrape up everything. And then the old fellow wanted his commission coming home from Fielding, so I had to borrow that off the mother-in-law. But he charged £1 a hundred in those days, so we had $25 I had to give him, I think, if I remember correctly. He got his money, and yeah, so we got that paid off, and we've been pretty well right. We've owned each house we've been in, worked to pay it off, which we have done here, done a lot of work. We've been settled quite well.
That's a very interesting story that you've given me, Bruce. Sally, what's your background?
I'm Danny Burke. I was born in a place called Roseneath, down Swinburne Street.
Did you do your schooling in Danny Burke?
Yes, South School and Danny Burke High. I worked in a shop by the name of Blythe's Limited in Danny Burke. I worked there for about 3 or 4 years. And then just 6 months before we were married, I went to Mackenzie's. Across the road, Mackenzie's.
Like Woolworths, Mackenzie's.
Yeah. I had 2 big sisters and a brother.
And then you got married?
Yes, got married. Met at a wedding dance.
Doing the Gay Gordons?
Yeah.
Oh, we've done plenty of them.
Oh, too right. Yes.
Did you? Became secretary, then you're the Scottish Society.
That's right.
Pioneer Tour, but that's out of this district.
That's good.
I was chief of that Pioneer Tour Scottish Society for 12, 13 years.
That's right.
We ran that, and your Sally was secretary for 9.
Your
daughter did 2 years as secretary of that. That was a great interest.
It was.
What was the cloth that you had, the Scottish cloth?
Ours was Innis Tartan. The Marnock belonged to the Innis Tartan. There is a place called Marnock in Scotland above Huntly. And I think Dad's family moved down from there, filtered down through to Aberdeen. And oddly enough, Sally's mother, with her parents, lived at Aberdeenshire. They immigrated out here in 1920.
1919.
But your mother came out as a younger girl with her parents and brothers.
That's right.
After the First World War, Grandad Orchard, that was George Henry Orchard, he was a gardener at the works, and he planted oak trees in remembrance of the boys that were killed at the war, for losing 2 boys himself. And that was the start. But unfortunately, there's no record anywhere of that being done. But it was always said, my mother always told me, and her brother Lionel Orchard, they knew it right through their life, that that's where the trees were, but they never said very much about it. He did work at Webb's Nurseries. They were obviously around then and at a later date, and Uncle Lionel himself worked at Webb's Nurseries planting the cypress trees at the front of the Hastings Boys High. That's who planted those trees, and that was many years ago. These snippets sort of coming back to me of the old times, but we cannot find any record of it. But that's what they did in those days. What other snippets have we got? The other big one was show day, when all the stock would walk past through Tamona Road and down Coventry Road to the show. There would be just rows of animals walking down with the horses and the riders. And then after the works would finish, there'd be rows of bikes coming away from Tamona, mainly push bikes and cars. It was quite a sight to see, to sit outside and watch them all go past. And that was for many years. A lot of the stock came from Mohora Stud Farm and Papawai Road.
Well, you've done very well for just on an hour.
Remember the ground out the beach? You remember what it was like at Hamoana? It was all stone. Yep, that was a batch that was just sitting outside it in those days. Now you don't know it, they've built a house in front of it.
Okay, well.
It was, interesting. Yeah, Pop was very bitter over the war, extremely. If anybody could have got anything out of them, I would have. It would have been me.
We found that with all our interviews, that people who went to the war, they never spoke about it. They kept it boiled up inside them.
Yep.
I want to thank Bruce and Sally Marnock for their talk this afternoon. Exceedingly interesting. And I thank you both very, very much for allowing us to interview you.
Thank you.